just to summarize what we learned until now, the Mishnah said at Din that every person is obligated to go up to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year for Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos. Then it excludes a person who's deaf, mute, mentally retarded, kids, and various different people that are not able to go up, so they don't have an obligation. So the Gemara asked the question, what does Hakel mean? Everybody. Obviously, it's an inclusive type of word. So first the Gemara answered, it's speaking about a person who's half free and half slave. That means it's a goyish slave, which was bought by two owners, so they're partners in the slave. One owner frees his slave, so now the slave is half slave, half free. So the Gemara says, but that's the only according to other opinions. According to Ravina, he's parted from going to the Beis HaMikdash. So what does Hakel mean? How could it be inclusive if it's not included? So the Gemara says a person who was crippled on the first day, and then he became uncrippled on the second day of Yom Tov. So then the Gemara discussed, is the other day a makeup, or is it a new obligation, or whatever it is. Then the Gemara answered another answer that includes a blind person. That a blind person is obligated to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. That's where we're up to now. So the Ibai Seima, you have to take the second half. Don't forget, halfway through the book, you have to open it to. So the Gemara answers as follows. Ibai Seima, or you can answer a different answer. The real answer is, like we say, Jay, you have to go 6 in the Gemara, not... 6 lines from the bottom of the Gemara, not from the bottom of the page. So he says, really it's speaking the answer that we answered before, that's speaking about a half-servant and half-slave. But you asked the question, Hod Ravina, Ravina's opinion that says half slave and half freed is not obligated to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Loikashi is not a question. Why? Kam b'mishnah d'ishayna, kam k'mishnah achareina. There's the first version, and then there's the second version. What does it mean there are two versions? So the Gemara explains. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. No, it's further, Shimshon. There's two tractates in this. Okay. The Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah. And the Gemara is explaining this very clearly now. Misha chetziv eved v'chetziv ben chayrin. A person, this is a Mishnah, that says the following law. That if somebody is half free, half slave. Eved is rabbi yeim echad v'satmi yeim echad. So the practical question, like we discussed last time, we didn't learn this since, but it came up before in the Gemara. A guy who's half slave and half free, what does he do? Okay, so one practical solution is, he works one day, and he's off a day. He works a day, and he's off a day. Because the other master freed him. But the master that didn't free him, so he can't have him 2 days in a row, so he has him every other day. That's what Divrei Beis Hillel. That's what Beis Hillel said. Amalehem Beis Shammai. So Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, 1 minute. Takantem es rabbi. You only made it good. You only remedied the master. The master is remedied by having 1 day on, 1 day off. But as atzmele tikantem, you didn't remedy the servant himself. Why? He says, what can the guy do? Lisa shivcha, to marry a maidservant, ain't a yachol, he can't because he's half free. And a Jew is not allowed to marry a maidservant. Bas chayin, to marry a free Jew, meaning a full-fledged Jewish girl, ain't a yachol, he can't. Because he's half slave. So the question is, who can this guy marry? Meaning, the Gemara asks, you only remedied the work aspect of him. But there's a personal aspect of the slave. And like the Gemara continues, Libatel, should he not get married and do nothing? The world was created for multiplying, procreation. Like it says in the Pasuk, Le'leteo berah, the world was not created to be empty. Ela l'shavis yisod, it was created to be civilized. So Beis Shammai says to Beis Hillel, you didn't remedy the situation. You just remedied the work situation, that he's working a day and off a day. But as far as the guy himself, what do you expect him to do? He can't not, you know. Now, Taisus over here asks an interesting question. There is a solution for this eved. He can marry a mamzeres, a female mamzer, because the din is an eved, a goyish slave, is allowed to marry a mamzer. No, he's not a goy. Again, when you buy a goyish slave, no, he's a goy until you buy him. You buy a goyish, not nowadays, obviously doesn't apply to this whole thing. In the olden times, you bought a goyish slave. The din was you gave him a bris, you took him to the mikveh. He became obligated in all the mitzvahs women are obligated in. Okay? Meaning all negative commandments, any positive mitzvah not connected to time. So this guy, you can't call him a full-fledged Jew, you can't count him to a minion, because you can't count women to a minion either. Right? But technically, the guy's not a goy anymore. He's just not a full-fledged Jew. If he ever becomes freed, for whatever reason, then he becomes a full-fledged Jew. So Tesis asks a question. The truth is that a Eved is allowed to marry a Mamzeres because he's not a full-fledged Jew, which would be a blemish of a Mamzeres. The problem is you don't do that. Why? Because the kids are going to be Mamzerim. In other words, technically, a Mamzer could marry a Mamzeres. A male Mamzer and a female Mamzer halachically allowed to get married. Why don't you do it? Because their children are going to be mamzeidim. So all you're doing is multiplying mamzeidim. So what are you gaining by it? So technically, a male mamzer and a female mamzer, they can't have children for whatever, either they're old or whatever, she's not physically able to have children. Technically, they can get married. And over here, you don't have the fear of multiplying mamzeidim because they're not going to have kids. But
technically speaking, after the Hurban, slave markets continued. So if a Jew...
But the halachas of goyish slaves and all that doesn't exist today. If a Jew buys a goyish slave today, he goes to Asia, whatever, and buys a goyish slave, they don't have a din of this whole thing. They're a goy and they stay a goy and that's it. Yeah, so that's what Tesis says. Tesis is asking a question, what do you mean he can't do anything? Let him marry a Mamzeres. Tesis said, we're not going to let him marry a Mamzeres because all they're doing is multiply Mamzeidim. So on a practical level, you don't solve the problem by allowing him to marry a Mamzeres because we're not going to let him do it. When somebody marries, I'll give you another example. If a non-Mamzer, let's say, marries a Mamzeres, or a mamzer marries a regular Jewish girl. The kids are mamzerim anyway. Either way, he goes after the blemished one. So it's not like a religion following the mother or the father. It doesn't work like that. If a mamzer marries a non-mamzer, or a non-mamzer marries a mamzeres, the din is the kids are mamzerim anyway. So you're not going to solve the problem. So therefore, Ella, so what did Beishamai say? Mepnei tikkun ha'olam, to fix the world, meaning to make the world a normal place, what do? Kreif in Esrabi, we force the master, va'oysa eise ben chayr, and you make him free. V'kaisev le'shtara chotzi domov, and you write him a document for half the value. Meaning as follows. You can't force a guy to give up money. The problem over here is when you force the Eved, the master, to free this half Eved, like Beis Shammai says, you have no choice. So the master can come along and say, 1 minute, I'm losing money now because I'm losing an Eved. So the din is, the Eved writes an IOU note to his master that when he gets money, he's going to pay him back half the value. Half already he was freed by the first owner. But the second one, that you're forcing him to free him, you can force him to free him, but he has to get reimbursed. So the Eved, right, that's what the Gemara says, he writes him an IOU note for half his value, because an Eved himself has no money. Because whatever an Eved owns, the master owns, according to Halacha. So when the Eved becomes free, and he goes to work, let's say, so he owes the master half of his value, because he forced him to become free. And the Gemara says, V'chazeru Beis Hillel Lahiris Kedivri Beis Shammai. And Beis Hillel changed his mind, and Beis Hillel started paskin like Beis Shammai. That means, Beis Hillel originally said, he works one day and is off one day. But even the Mishnah Achareina, the last law was, Beis Hillel paskin like Beis Shammai, that you force the guy to be free. So therefore, the Mishnah is saying that a half Eved, half free, is also obligated to go to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because you're going to force the master to free him. He's becoming a full-fledged Jew. So he also has an obligation of going up to the Beis HaMikdash. Here Beis Shammai is, it's hard to use the word lenient or stricter here. Towards the Eved, he's lenient. Towards the master, well, he's getting his money, but... The Rambam says an interesting din. When you buy an Eved, you have to give him a bris officially and put him in the mikveh like we learned. What happens if the guy refuses? The guy says, I'm not getting a bris, I'm not doing it. So the Rambam says, Megalgal on Lalev, you play with it like 12 months, you try to convince him, and if after 12 months, the guy doesn't want, you have to get rid of him. You can't keep him in the house. Yeah, it could be you're allowed to sell him. I don't remember now if the halacha is you can sell him to another. You can't sell him to another Jew because he's not going to get anywhere with the other Jew either, right? But maybe, I don't remember that then, it could be that you could sell it to a guy to get your money back because obviously you bought him, right? And you can't keep him. So I don't remember the halacha is if you have to let him go for free or you're allowed to sell him to a guy. To the guy should buy him, and then the guy, he doesn't have to be a Jew. Okay, now's another interesting, simple piece of Gemara. In the Mishnah it said, Chutz Micheres Shaita V'Katan. Everybody has to go up to the Beis HaMikdash again for Yom Tov, except Cheres Shaita V'Katan. Now, Cheres, as we'll learn, has a few definitions. Shaita is a person mentally retarded. Katan is a kid. Okay, that's clear. Now, the question is, what is Cheres? Deaf, but he could speak? Deaf mute that he can't hear or speak? Or what happens if he could speak and can't hear? You can have one of the two. Either he doesn't speak or hear, or he can hear and not speak. No, I'm sorry. He can not hear, but he could speak.
Usually deaf mute.
Yeah, but Rashi explains an interesting thing. The Gemara says, the guy, you have a case of a cheresh that doesn't hear, but he could speak. So Rashi, explains, how do you have a deaf person that could speak if he can't hear? So Rashi says, listen, he became deaf later. So he already learned how to speak, and then he became deaf later, so he can still talk, but he can't hear. So the Gemara says, K'tani cheresh, dumi reshayte v'kot. The fact that the Mishnah puts together classification of cheresh, shayte v'kot, means it's a cheresh which is similar to a shayte, meaning the lav b'nei deya ninu, that he doesn't have intelligence. He doesn't have mentally, he's not mentally competent. The kamash malon, and therefore the Mishnah is teaching us, like we learned in the Mishnah, chedesh shedivre chachamim b'chol mokim, when the chachamim speak about a deaf person, it means she'ena shemeya ve'ena medaber. He's deaf mute, what we call it. He doesn't hear, and he doesn't speak. But medaber ve'ena shemeya, what happens if a person speaks but doesn't hear, or shemeya ve'ena medaber, he can hear and not speak, Like, either way, you can have a guy that speaks and doesn't hear. You can have a guy that hears but doesn't speak. Chayiv is obligated. Because the Gemara is saying, what is the definition of a cheresh? A person who's mentally incompetent. And the Gemara says, what is the definition of a mentally incompetent mute? Deaf person is deaf mute. But if he's only one of the two, he's obligated in all the mitzvahs. So therefore, the Gemara learns what mishnah, what cheresh are we speaking about in our mishnah, one that's similar to a shaita, and therefore he's not able to speak or hear. So now the Gemara says, Tanin alohudutan rabbanon. The Gemara points out that our mishnah is similar to a braisa, to another similar to a mishnah, because it says in the braisa, hamedaber ve'ein shemeya, if a person speaks and doesn't hear, that is a cheresh. But the Gemara is not done yet. Shemeya ve'ein medaber, what happens if you hear but don't speak? Zehu ilein. Meaning when in Chumash, in Tanakh, you have a word cheresh and you have a word ilein. Both are similar. So the Gemara says, if you speak and don't hear, then you're a cheresh. If you hear but don't speak, meaning you're mute, then you're an ilein. But if they're only lacking one of the two, meaning they either don't hear or don't speak, but the other one they do have, they're obligated, they're like healthy people in all ways, meaning they're obligated in mitzvahs. And then the Gemara says, how do you know this? How do you know that cheresh is you don't hear and ilem is you don't speak? So the Gemara said, Mimai, the medaber veina shmei is a cheresh. And shmei veina medaber is a ilem. How do you know the difference that this hears and this doesn't talk? He says, Dichsiv, because in Tilim there's a pasuk that says as follows. Vani kecheresh loy eshma. David HaMelech says, I'm like a deaf person who doesn't hear. Uche ilem, and like a mute, that lo yiftach piv, doesn't open his mouth. So you see, ilay means he can't talk. And chadesh means he can't hear. Okay? Or, the Gemara says another language of people. Iboy seima, ked amri inshi, there's an expression that people used to say about a mute, hishtakel meluli. His speech was taken away from him. And hishtakel meluli makes up the word like ilay. The aleph of this word, and the mem, and the lamed, in the middle is ilem. So the Gemara basically says that in ilem is one who doesn't speak, mute. Cheresh is the one that's deaf. But, again, this cheresh and this ilem are obligated in all mitzvahs. That means you can count them to a minyan, you know, whatever. They have to listen to, if they're deaf, they don't have an obligation to hear shofar, because what do you expect them to do? But they're obligated in all the mitzvahs that they have to do. But a person, God forbid, is a deaf mute, they're not obligated in any mitzvahs.
Not even like putting
on
the ring?
No.
Just like the blind person?
A blind person is machlekes in the Gemara if they're obligated or not, and the halacha is they are obligated. Because they're considered mentally not competent. Now, if they want to, maybe they're allowed to, but they don't have the mitzvah that they have to. In fact, I told you, somebody, I didn't finalize with it, but somebody came to me the other week. They have to perform a marriage for two deaf people. A deaf man and woman, I want to get married. They communicate with sign language. So the whole procedure, what do you do with the wedding? Because technically, if they're deaf-mute, and they only communicate with sign language, let's say both of them, so then, what I've seen, I mean, I didn't really go into it, it's only a rabbinic marriage. That means the Chachamim said, they don't want the girl to be just running around free-for-all without being married, right? So the Rabbanan instituted, there is a rabbinic concept of marriage there. But you have to, it's interesting, you have to explain to them beforehand what's going on in sign language or in writing. You have to write that they want to get married and amicadeciously, and then they do it with sign language. It's a whole procedure that it works, that they should understand what's going on. It's a whole interesting procedure. But a deaf mute is lacking in the whole concept. Then you have another shiloh. What happens if they can hear with a hearing aid? Is that called that they hear or they don't hear? It's another shiloh. Right? Because maybe if they can hear with a hearing aid, the question is that considered that they hear? Because by nature they're not hearing. Right? So, it's another question. Okay. Then the Gemara continues. Medaber veina shemeya. The Gemara just quoted what we said before, that somebody that speaks and doesn't hear, or shemeya veina medaber, he hears but doesn't speak, meaning Yom's only one of the two, chayiv is obligated in all mitzvahs of the Torah. Okay? So the Gemara asks a question for Tanya, but we learned, meaning they also have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash for Yom Tov. So the Gemara said, "Vatanya," but we learned in a brayse, and it's not true. It says in a brayse, "Medaber ve'ena shemeya," a person that speaks but cannot hear. Shemeya ve'ena medaber, but he hears or cannot speak. But that he doesn't have to go to the Beis Hamikdash for Yom Tov. So it's mamash a contradiction. We're just explaining our Mishnah that if you're deaf or mute, you have an obligation to go up to the Beis Hamikdash. But in the brayse, it says you don't have the obligation. You're potter. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina v'seima Rava Ravina, or some people say Rava answered. It's really as follows. Chasuri Mechsera, the text in our Mishnah is lacking, meaning, V'horek Tani, this is what should be written in the Mishnah. And this you find many times in the Gemara, that the Gemara says the Mishnah is missing a few words, and after you explain the words, that everything makes sense. And the Mishnah should read as follows. Hakol Chayovim B'riyo B'simcha. Every Jew is obligated in Ri'iyah and rejoicing. Now, in our Mishnah, it basically said, Hakol Chayovim B'riyah. Every person is obligated to go up to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a carbon oila. Now, before we go further, let me explain, because we didn't really get into it last time. When the Jews went up to the Beis HaMikdash, they had to bring two karbanos every Yom Tov. There was oila Ri'iyah. There was a carbon that you had to bring to see God. And God said, don't come to me empty-handed. So the Ebishtu said, you come to me, you have to bring me a gift. You go to somebody's house, you bring them a gift. God says, you're coming to my house, don't come, you're open, they come. Seriously, you're not allowed to come empty-handed to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring a carbon elo. That's one, number one. Then there's a mitzvah in the Torah, v'samachta b'chagecha. You have to be happy. How are you happy? So the Gemara says, men, wine and meat. Women, clothing and jewelry. Kids, toys, you know, basically. So there's a mitzvah of v'samachta b'chagecha. So therefore, what did they bring also on Yom Tov? They brought what was called shalmei chagiga, a shlamim for the chag. The shlamim for the chag was a carbon they also brought up. See, the oil ariya, the first carbon they brought up for Hashem, that was completely burnt on the Mizbeach. So, the guy had nothing from it. He couldn't eat it. It was all for Hashem. In addition to that, they had to bring a carbon simcha. Okay, because that's samachta b'chagecha with meat. But it's an interesting thing. According to many opinions, simcha be'basar means beef, not chicken. It means real meat, not chicken. Shalmei Chagiga. What is that? Huh? Shalmei. Yeah, but that's just a carbon shlomim, not money. Now, that is called Simcha. So the Gemara says, there's Re'iyah and Yom Tov. There are two obligations, so to speak. Re'iyah, which is to bring the carbon oila, burnt offering, and that was a carbon Simcha. By the way, we mentioned, on the Seder plate, you have the Zeraya representing the carbon Pesach, and the Beita representing the Shalmei Chagiga, the Shlom that they brought up on Yom Tov. The carbon Chagiga, yeah. So this is the Simcha. So the version in our Mishnah only speaks about Hakol Chayovim Beri'iya, who has to go up to see Hashem and to bring a Korban Eila. Now the Gemara is asking and adding as follows. Hakol Chayovim Beri'iya Ubesimcha. Everybody's obligated in the Korban Ri'iya, the Eila, and in the Shalmei Chagiga, Shalmei Simcha. Except a person who's deaf. I'm sorry, he speaks, but he's deaf, but he's not mute. Or Shemeya, he hears. And he's mute. He doesn't have to bring the carbon re'iya. And the Gemara is going to explain. But even though he's parted from the carbon re'iya, Chayev b'simcha, he has to bring the carbon chagiga. So Gemara says, if you're deaf or mute, only one of the two, the din is you have to bring a carbon simcha, but not the eloria. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Ve'es she'ein alei shemeya v'lei medaber, but a person who's deaf and mute, meaning both not. V'sheit v'katan, potter af min ha-simcha. They don't even have to bring the carbon chagiga. Why? Because they're free from all mitzvahs in the Torah. And therefore, if they're freed from mitzvahs in the Torah, they don't have to do any mitzvah. So therefore, they don't have to bring the carbon re'iya, plus they don't have to bring the carbon simcha. But the Gemara is saying, the way the Gemara is learning our Mishnah, that if you're deaf or mute, you don't have to bring re'iya, but you have to bring the chagiga. And the Gemara is going to explain why.
So hundreds of thousands of Jews carried the Ba'an over them? And they all got shepherded?
Yep. In 7 days. Yom Tov was 7 days. All the shifts of Kohanim worked in the Beis HaMikdash in the Chagim.
So they shepherded and they took it out and they ate it?
Yeah. Well, the Eilas Riyah was burnt completely. The Karm Chagiga, they shechted. It was a Shlomim. Shlomim was divided three ways. God got a part, meaning the Mizbeach, Kohenim, and the owner. There's different levels of Karbanis. Like we say, in Ezel Mekayim before Haidu, right? We say, Abchor Nachal HaKohanim. Certain Karbanis, only the Kohenim ate, and the Mizbeach ate. Shlomim, the reason it's called Shlomim, from the word Shalom, it makes peace. This carbon, everybody's happy. God gets a piece on the Mizbeach, the Kohenim get a piece, the Jew bringing the carbon gets a piece. So everybody's happy because everybody got a piece of the action.
The Mizbeach was big though, so I guess they can throw in...
It was very busy. The Mizbeach was very busy. And those things that they didn't have a chance to burn during the day, they burnt it at night. That's why we have Ma'ariv, corresponding with the burning of the extra Korbanos that they did at night. But they had it for 7 days. That's why the din was, Pesach is 7 days, Sukkot is 7 days. Right? So those Korbanos, in 7 days, they basically were able to cover everybody. But Shavuos, which is only 1 day, so that's why this was called the 7 days of Tashlumim, until Yud Beis Sivan, where our custom is you don't say Tachnun, because those the Gemara says they were given 7 days, because in 1 day it was impossible to do all the Korbanos. Mamish impossible. So they had 7 days. And did they take a number? No, I don't know what they slept overnight. They took a number. I don't know what they... No, it was per family. You can't, you know, because a carbon shlum, you can't have one guy eating a whole behemoth. Okay.
Was per owner of the land?
Not owner of the land, every individual Jew. But a family could bring. What?
The re'iya was every meal.
No, one time. Re'iya was burnt on the Mizbeach completely, that's it.
Right, the shlum says every male, so it's not just one.
Oh, every, yeah, the carbon Pesach was one per family, you're right. Yeah. Every person over bar mitzvah, every male over bar mitzvah had to bring.
Also, to go up the base of the you had to own the land.
Yes.
You didn't have one.
So if you didn't own land, you didn't have to go to the base of Migdash for the base, for Yom Tov. There's a famous question in Taisis, what do you mean they didn't own land? If every Jew owns, Avraham Avinu, when he bought Marcel Machpela, paid for every Jew 1 square cubit of land in Israel. So what do you mean a Jew doesn't have land? No, whatever Taisis has to, they ask the question, how does it work?
Everybody compares.
Levi didn't have any land. Levi didn't have any land. No, it's okay. Levi didn't own any land. But they were there anyway. They were working.
But sometimes they lost it. They sold the land. They needed the money. They sold it for up to 50 years, right?
Yeah, but so they still technically owned it. It was a lease.
Oh.
And as you saw, they never sold land permanently. Thank you. What type of carbon? What type of animal? Thank you. Par ben shana. Oh no, I don't remember.
I'm thinking if it's par, then you beat korban for everyone.
Sometimes you bought lambs or sheep. Or yeah, I mean, there was a ton of animals in Yerushalayim and the Yom Tov time. Yeah. They didn't have to, by the way, they didn't have to schlep the animal from Eilat, or Eilat, not Eretz Yisrael, I'm saying, but from the dealers in Yerushalayim that sold bait. Yeah, you didn't have to schlep it from wherever you were. It was big business.
People spend
their
money.
Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara said a statement that if you're deaf or mute, you're potter from Re'iya, but you're chayiv in Simcha. Okay, that's what the Mishnah said. So Tanya Nami Hachi, so we take a learned in a Braisa, Hakol chayavim b'Re'iya b'Simcha, every Jew is obligated, male obviously, in Re'iya and Simcha, chutz mi'cheresh ha'medabe v'ein ha'shemeya, except a person who's deaf and doesn't, who speaks but doesn't hear. Or Shemeya Vena Medaba, he's deaf and doesn't speak. Shepturim mina Re'iya. Departed from Re'iya, from the carbon Re'iya, but Afal Pi Shepturim mina Re'iya. Even though they're freed from Re'iya, Chayavim v'Simcha. They're Chayiv and Simcha. Okay? V'Sheena Loi Shemeya V'Loi Medaba. A person who doesn't hear and doesn't speak, meaning both faults. V'Sheit of a Katan, and, you know, retarded and a kid. Peturin afmen asimcha, hel peturin mikol mitzvah somers peturin. So the Gemara is just restating that what we have in the Mishnah stated in the Braisa too. But the Gemara asks, maishna le'inyan re'iya de p'tira, why is a person who's half, I mean either deaf or mute, why are they not obligated in re'iya, and why are simcha they obligated? So the Gemara is going to learn out from a pasuk. Because le'inyan re'iya, as far as seeing, to go to the Beis HaMikdash, they're not obligated. Why not? Because gama re'iya may hakel. There's a mitzvah in the Torah called hakel. Hakel is the year following Shemitah, the sabbatical year, the next sukkah, every single Jew, man, woman, and child, had to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Everybody. Now, by re'iya it says the word re'iya, and by hakel it says the word re'iya. If we say over there, it says, hakel esa'am. You gather the community, men, women, and children, and it says, when all the Jews come to appear, meaning, we learn Re'iya from Hakel. Okay? So therefore the Gemara says, just like by Hakel, if you're deaf or mute, you don't have to go to Hakel. The same way, you don't have to bring a carbon re'iya. So Gemara says, how do you know hakel, deaf or mute, is potter? The hosam, how do we know by hakel that a chedesh is exempt. He says, because it says, l'man yishmu'u, u'l'man yilmedu. By Hakel, the Torah says, why do they have to come? That they should hear and learn. If you can't hear, the Torah says you don't have to go up. So if by Hakel, if you're deaf, you don't have to go up, and we learn out Re'iyah from Hakel, so then they all don't have to go up for the Iyah either. But Simcha is a separate mitzvah. They're not deaf and mute. They're just one of the two, so they're not like mentally incompetent. They're a competent Jew, so they have a mitzvah of Simcha. But if you're deaf, we learn it out from Hakel that the deaf person doesn't have to go. And then it says, Leman Yilmedu, and then the Torah says, Leman Yilmedu, which excludes a person who can't speak. Because the Gemara now, the Gemara is going to ask a very interesting question. The Gemara now says, if you're mute, you can't learn. If you can't talk, you can't learn. This is what the Gemara, we're not done yet. This is what the Gemara says now. So the Gemara asks as follows. A person who's deaf or mute is not obligated in Hakel. Because by Hakel, the Torah says you should hear and learn. But the Gemara learns, hear and speak. If you can't hear, you can't speak, so you don't have to go to Hakel. So just like by Hakel, you don't have to go. By Karbin Re'iyah, you also don't have to go because we learn out the Re'iyah from Hakel. Okay? But Simcha, you're obligated to go because why not? But now the Gemara asks, the Gemara tells a very interesting story. Are you telling me that if you can't speak, you can't learn? The Gemara says, there were these two mute students, Vishvavusa the Rebbe, in Rebbe's neighborhood, who were either Bnei Brati the Rabbi Yechim and Gudgoda, either they were Rabbi Yechim and Gudgodka's grandchildren, or some people say they were Bar Achtei de Rabbi Yechanan, the sons of Rabbi Yechanan's sister. In other words, they came from a great family, but they were mute. They were in Rabbi Yudan Nossi's neighborhood. The Chol Eim is to have a ayel Rabbi Lebei Midrasha, whenever Rabbi came into the Beis Medrash, Avahai Levi Yosef Kamayel, they sat down, they would enter and sit down in front of him. And they would listen and move their heads like they understood, and they would move their lips even though nothing came out because they were mute. And Rebbe saw this, that they were, you know, he saw that they were interested in learning, but they couldn't, so to speak. Rebbe davened for them that they should speak. So they were healed. And they found out they knew all of Torah by heart. Medrash, Shas, Mishnah. I mean, those days it was only Mishnah. They knew everything by heart. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. You just get through saying a mute can't learn, and therefore he doesn't have to go up to Hakel. Here you see that these two mute guys, they knew how to learn. They just couldn't speak, but they knew how to learn. So how can you say a mute person can't learn? So when the Torah says by Hakel leman yilmedu that you should learn, so they're excluded. Why should they be excluded? They're able to learn. Shishas Sedarim. Shas, now we took Shas, the Gemara. But it's really says for Shishas Sedarim, the six orders of Mishnah. Now the days of Rabbi compiled Mishnah, so they only had the Mishnah. They didn't have Gemara, obviously. So they didn't know the Gemara by heart, but they knew all of Mishnah by heart. And they knew all the teachings of Rebbe. So you see from here that they're able to learn. So the Gemara answers as follows. He says, don't read it leman yilmedu, that they should learn. Read it leman yilamedu, that they should teach. In the Torah there's no vowels. So the word yilmedu could be read yilmedu, which means learning. And it could be read yilamedu, to teach. So the teaching for sure they can't. So the Gemara's question, how could you say they can't learn when they could? So the Gemara says, no, what we mean is they can't teach. Or Rav Ashi Omar, Vade Leman Yilamduhu. It means that they will, it has to mean teaching. You can't even think it means learning. Why? Because if you want to think that it means yilmadu, that they should learn, kiven delay mishtoi, and therefore we're saying that because they're not able to learn, they can't learn. So he says, v'kiven delay shama, delay gama, and therefore if the guy can't hear, he can't learn, so then you have it l'man yishmu nafka, you have it from the person that can't hear. He says as follows. If the person cannot speak, he can't learn, if that's what you're thinking, then it's safe to assume that if he can't hear, you also can't learn. But the Torah already says you have to hear. So the Torah is adding an extra word anyway. If you think that if you don't speak or hear, you can't learn, right? So if the Gemara thought if you can't speak, you can't learn, so if you can't hear, for sure you can't learn. But the Torah already says that you have to hear. So we can't refer to liyilmadu means to learn, because that already I know from Yishmu. So therefore, what does yilmadu mean? Rav Ashi says, it must mean teach. And therefore, the Gemara learns as follows. A mute, from hakel we learn, if you're deaf or mute, you don't have to go up to hakel. Because the Torah says, what's the purpose of bringing everybody? That they should hear and teach. But if you can't hear and you can't teach, because you can't speak, so you don't have to go to Hakel. So if you don't have to go to Hakel, we learn out to Re'iyah from a Hakel, so therefore you don't have to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash and Yom Tov. But Simcha, the carbon Shlomim, that you do have to bring. That they would have to bring. Now the Gemara takes it even a step further. Amar Rab Tanchum, the Tanchum says, Chedesh ba'ozni achas potem in the ear. What happens if you're deaf in one ear? So he says, you also don't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash for the ear. Why? Because the Torah says, ba'oznehem, in their ears. In their ears. So the fact that the Torah says, you should hear it in your ears, means you have to be able to hear in both ears. And if you're deaf in one ear, so then you don't have this obligation to go up to the Beis HaMikdash.
You have to use that language because it's two ears. You look to the eye.
You should know, sometimes it says, Taka, that a person who's blind in one eye is also parted from certain things because it says plural ears, eyes. No, but the pasuk by Hakel, which we're learning out from Re'ir Mia from Hakel, the Torah says as follows: Tikras haTorah Azayis. He quotes here the pasuk. The Melech reads the Torah neged kol Yisrael before all the Jews, ba'az nehem in their ears. Now, if the Torah didn't use the word ba'az nehem, and the Torah said the king should read the Torah, it's understood it's in the ears. No, if the Torah says the Melech, the king should read the Torah doesn't have to use the word ba'az nehem. The Torah adds the words, you should read the Torah into their ears. So over there is an extra word. And it's plural. So what is the Torah teaching us with this extra word? That in order to be obligated in the mitzvah, you have to be able to hear with both ears. But if you can hear with both ears, you're deaf in one ear, then you don't have an obligation to go. Because the Torah says, "Bazem in a whole extra word." Did I have to pick up from yeshiva? Good night. So the Gemara says as follows. Just to finish up this Gemara, the Gemara says the extra word "baznehem" means that if you're deaf in one ear, you don't have to go. So the Gemara says, but I need it for something else. V'hai baznehem iboyle baznehem dekuli Yisrael. Meaning, the Gemara asks, baznehem is not extra. I need to teach me, baznehem, that every Jew has to be present when the Melech reads the Torah. If it says in the Pasuk only the king should read the Torah, maybe some people could be outside somewhere. But Azneha means every Jew has to be present. So then the word Azneha is not extra. So how do I know that one ear, you're abpatir from it? So the Gemara says, no, that I know from the word Neged Kol Yisrael. The Pasuk already says in the presence of all Jews. So I understand that nobody could be outside. So Azneha is extra. So the Gemara says, no, Imi Neged Kol Yisrael. If will be, if the Torah would only say opposite of will be for all the Yidden, Havamina would think, even though he didn't hear it, that it's also good. So, cause of Rachmana Bazneim, so the Torah raised Bazneim, Vudashama, which teaches us they actually have to hear it. Right? So then, Azneim is not extra. So again, I need Azneim. So how do I know that a person who's deaf in one ear is not obligated in Hakel and Re'iyah. Saint Mara says, "Bahol leman yishmu nafka." That they can already learn out from that they will hear. The fact that the Torah says they will hear it, okay, means that every Jew has to be present. The word azneim is then extra, and it teaches us that you have to hear with both ears to be obligated in the mitzvah of hakel. And Re'iyah, we learn out from hakel, so therefore, you know, a guy who's deaf in one ear doesn't have to go up to the Beis HaMikdash.
Totally deaf or hard of hear?
No, totally deaf. Everybody's, you know what? Everybody. All teenagers are hard of hearing. So then they wouldn't be able to
No.
They're not obligated, but they can go. If the whole family is going up, they can spend Yom Tov themselves on the farm. They can go. The question, they don't have to bring a carbon.
Right.
I'm saying like a kid, or you know whatever, they don't have to go. But obviously, a kid's not going to stay home himself. You know, what's he going to do?
You said last time that they take him to the teacher.
That was by Hakel. But again, in a practical sense, they did take the kids, but. For Yom Tov, the obligation of the carbon re'iyah was on men. We'll see later in the Gemara, in fact, Tosis over here discusses, women are also obligated in simcha. We'll see later in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to talk about that women are obligated in the carbon simcha, not in the re'iyah.